Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's special edition of Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. We turn the tables today. Lawrence Ball will be interviewing me on day 13 of my virtual book tour. Lawrence will post this interview and a video I made on his blog today. Please go over and have a look. I will post that link when it becomes available. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Lawrence is not yet on the line, so let me explain what is a virtual book tour, and actually the book that is being featured here is called Prayer Prescriptions, Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health, and it's a book that has been in the making for me since the 1st of November 2009 when I decided to write a prayer a day on a blog that I had over at Crabby's Beach. Alex Crabtree was put up this wonderful social site for Squidoo members so we could have blogs and we could communicate with each other. And I decided to, hi Pearlie, I decided to put up a, sorry, I decided to put up a prayer a day for 365 days, which I called my prayer challenge. So, and then after that 365 day period, I looked over the whole blog and I thought, oh my goodness, here are themes that are running through this whole thing, and I could make it into a book. Well, actually, I had planned to make it into a book anyway, but I had no idea how I was going to do that. So, the themes that were woven through the blog had to do with death and dying, you know, actually rebirth, animals, lots of things to do with my dogs at the time. When I started writing the prayer blog, my dog Mukunda was still alive, but he had been diagnosed with a tumor on his snout, and I knew that his time was limited. That was very painful because I loved that dog with all my heart. And then within a year, maybe even 9 months, my other dog Ulysses was diagnosed with a serious cancer that we were able to actually put it into remission with a series of prayer, I would say. And also, he was bleeding to death, so there was a wonderful Chinese herb that stopped the bleeding immediately called Yuyun Baiyan. I highly recommend that herb to any bleeding condition, even if you would injure yourself say, around the house, and, you know, just say you injured yourself by cutting yourself in an accident at home. If you take this Yuyun Baiyan, it will stop the bleeding. And the way that Americans found out about it was through in the Vietnam War, when the North Vietnamese, when they were killed, each one of these people had little vials of Yuyun Baiyan on them. And then the assumption was made that they used this herb when they were shot, and if they were still alive, they would use it and stop the bleeding. And it really saved many, many lives during that war. So anyway, that was one thing we used to save Ulysses. And I outline all of this stuff in the book. And I must say I have good news. I just received a word from my editor. That would be Fran Monaco, who is an editor for the Al-Anon publication, that she has finished the book, and she sent me her version, you know, her edited version to me this morning, which I haven't had a chance to look at. But that means, that just simply means I will be handing the book over to my beautiful friend, Gypsy Owl, who will be putting it up, she and I will put it up on Kindle and Amazon. And I assume that this will happen within a very, you know, short amount of time. Today is the 18th of April. And I would, I'm going to keep this book tour going maybe until the second week of May, and then do a launch of some sort, which I will do that launch with the help of the teachings of Brendon Burchard. I have his stuff here. I will just review it and do what he suggests. There's a lot of suggestions out there about what to do and how to do it, and we can all get confused by these suggestions, because so often what one person suggests, another person kind of negates. And so it's not, I recommend choosing a person whom you believe to have an incredible integrity, who speaks to you, and follow their suggestions for your book launch. The virtual book tour idea, though, came from Devorah Lansky, who I love so much, and her students all love her. She's just a wonderful human being. And her students also have gotten together in many ways to joint venture and to promote each other's books. So also Christine Closer was very instrumental in me even writing this, getting this book written, because I had no idea really how to do it. She has the Transformational Author Series, and I met a lot of wonderful people through that. And one of those people would be Kit DeMole, who has written the book Zen and the Art of the Midlife Crisis, and he has been on this radio show. Christine, and I also met through Christine Closer Mark Allen, who is, in my opinion, I just love his philosophy about laziness. We need to practice laziness. I love it, because being lazy is such a knee-jerk kind of negative reaction in our society. And the thing about Mark Allen is that he could care less about that being a negative thing, and he actually has created a whole new definition for laziness. And really, in the Zen Buddhist tradition, what happens so often is that the state of non-doing, you know, you can make your goals and so forth, but letting go of outcome is one of the most important things you can do, because so many times if you put forth a goal into the universe, what happens is things start evolving, things start showing up that you didn't plan for. So to drop assumptions, to drop a hold on what you think should be happening, to drop your sense of control over the things that are evolving in your life is probably the most important thing I can say, I can give advice to. And my dearest wish was to be published by New World Library. But what happened is that New World Library has asked me to interview their new authors. So I may not, you know, be published by New World Library, but I'm getting a relationship with the people there, Mark Allen especially, and the senior publicist, Kim Corbin, who is just a beautiful, delightful human being. So my point here is that you have to become clear on what it is that you want in life with your creative endeavors, with your book. And not, of course, not everybody is destined to be a published author, but in this day and age, it's a lot easier to become published because you can self-publish. And I wrote a book with my friend who was a comrade, who was my commune friend back in the early 1970s. We wrote a book about our commune years back in 1997. And what was so interesting about that is I tried to get it published by the traditional route. And I really bent over backwards to get that to accomplish that, and it didn't happen. And now, you know, fast forward to 2012, suddenly I realized, and there's a whole movement going on of people who are self-publishing and who are, you have to promote these books, and you also have to be right on top of how you want to promote it pre-launch, launch, and post-launch, and then it has to be a good book. I mean, you can't just write a bunch of dribble. So all these things kind of help. It really helps to become clear as to what you want to accomplish with your work, your creative work. And certainly, you know, just writing for the pure joy of writing is another wonderful thing to do. I mean, there's no sense in thinking you should be published, or I personally never thought I would be a published, quote, so-called published author. And even so, last week, a book I contributed to was published. It just doesn't have a reality for me anyway. I mean, being a published author is not really who I am. I mean, we are all so much more than just being one simple definition. So having said that, I'm still waiting for Lawrence Ball to join me. And the call-in number, if you want to call in, is 347-205-9200. I believe that Lawrence got held up in, say, traffic. He's teaching this morning. And that's fine. You know, it's all good. So tonight, on tonight's show, I have another show this evening at 7 p.m., and I am interviewing a New World Library author whose name is Stan Goldberg. He has written a book called Leaning into Sharp Points, Practical Guidance and Nurturing Support for Caregivers. Now, I have just started the book, and I fully intend to finish it by 7 p.m. this evening, but I am just impressed by this book because one of the first little points to come about that interested me was when a doctor decides that you have a terminal diagnosis, Dr. Goldberg believes that the doctor should tell a patient that they have only so much more to live. And I think that's controversial. I know from my point of view, and not even my point of view as a nurse, but my point of view as a person who doesn't believe doctors. And I think most patients, well, there's a lot of patients that would that still believe that their doctors are gods, deities, medical deities. But there's more people who are thinking for themselves who don't really want somebody to tell them that they have only so long to live. And if anybody would tell me that, I would defy the diagnosis. I mean, I think that's just, not everybody would, but a lot of, that's what we did with Ulysses when he had cancer. We defied the diagnosis and gave him at least, another 9 to 10 more months to live. And I learned a lot through that experience because there's a lot of different ways to treat cancer that have nothing to do with medical science. When I know that the FDA would like to shoot me down for that, I don't really care. If it's my life and if I would decide not to go the traditional route of cancer treatment, that's fully my right. And there's a lot of different ways of treating serious chronic diseases and illnesses that have nothing to do with traditional pharmaceutical, the medicalization of Western medicine. So having said that, Dr. Goldberg and I will be discussing that point because I think his point in saying that a doctor needs to be honest about a person's prognosis is for the patient and the caregiver to make end-of-life decisions, and that makes sense. If a person is actually doesn't really think they're going to die and is holding on to some sort of false threads, and really we do a disservice to people too, facing death, so-called death, and we all know, I mean, some of us know that is a bogus word anyway, to face death is a great teacher, and to be in a denial about that is probably doing a disservice. I can see that. And of course, if you're in such a state of denial that you are going to so-called die, then you aren't sewing up the loose ends of your life for the people who are left behind. And, you know, maybe you haven't gotten your will together and stuff like that. So the book is very thought-provoking, and it's very well-written, and he gives wonderful stories about his experiences over the many years that he's been a hospice care worker, and how people, stories of people dealing with end-of-life issues. The call-in number is 347-205-9200, and we are about 17 minutes into the show. I am wondering if maybe Lawrence has been so held up that he isn't able to come to the show this morning. Let me see what else I can talk about here. Certainly about prayer prescriptions. Let's get back to that topic. Prayer prescriptions has become for me a way of life. Prayer is something that can be woven into every aspect of your life. And what has happened for me in doing this is I am better able to see and face areas of my life that need to be more congruent with and harmonized with my life destiny. And prayer will do that for you. We're not praying for anything. We are actually, a prayer prescription is blending your life with the higher divinity that flows through all things, and also through you and through me. I mean, what's the old saying? The kingdom of God is within you, and everybody's looking for God outside of themselves. And by placing God within your deepest soul, people tend not to find God that way. Goddess, God, the divine intelligence. So a prayer prescription is a way of life as opposed to praying for anything. I remember one of my guests on the radio show, Jeanette Maul, had written a beautiful little ebook called The Pray Rain Journal. And I believe the whole concept of pray for rain or pray rain came about through the Divine Matrix author, Greg. I do forget his name at the moment, but instead of the whole idea of praying for rain, what happens is you sit outdoors, and we are earthlings, so the more we hang outdoors on Mother Earth and on the earth itself, we will become more harmonized with our life purpose. And if there hasn't been any rain for quite some time, this one person sat, I believe it certainly was an American Indian, sat on a rock and imagined rain coming from the heavens and saturating his body, his clothing, and giving him the satisfaction of a thirst that he was very thirsty, and he just imagined that thirst was quenched with the rain. And he did this for a period of time, and suddenly it rained. And the weather map showed that the rain occurred just where this person was doing this prayer. Not prayer for rain, but pray rain, imagining everything about that circumstance. Imagine everything about what it would be like for rain to occur in that moment. So her point was that we don't pray for anything, because that is putting everything outside of yourself. You use prayer as a way of life, as a way of expressing the divinity that is everywhere, all around us and within us. And that makes perfect sense. So that is what a prayer prescription is, sort of an extension of that idea. We go to the doctors for all kinds of prescriptions. But so often we don't realize that a prescription, a prayer prescription, is a way to guide you through the life that we are living, and that that the prayer, however you express your prayer, with Lawrence, I would assume his prayer is expressed through his music. And then again, in many other ways as well, because once again, I'm sure he doesn't want to be defined only as a musician. My prayer prescription is defined much more profoundly than just through the prayers that I write. We can see our prayer prescriptions in the music that we compose, the dances that we might. I know that when I dance, I feel very close to something that is very powerful. Dancing, your prayer prescription, and walking on the earth, and that can be a prayer prescription. And noticing Mother Nature. And I have had dogs over the last 15 years, and now we have Pearl. Pearl and I have been walking in the park and just watching her. Dogs really love to be outside. That's where they are more than themselves than ever. And my friend Samantha was telling me about her beautiful dog, Gandalf, how the two of them have, I guess she, Gandalf just loves tennis balls, and I think how the story goes that she threw a tennis ball into a barrel of water, and the tennis ball sank to the bottom. So Gandalf is a smart, highly intelligent dog, and every time he goes outside, he's trying to get the ball out from, you know, he's saturating himself with water in his single-pointed desire to get that ball out from the bottom of the barrel. And you take a dog outside, and you just sense this amazing, it's a affinity that they have with the earth. And that's what I noticed with Pearl when we take our walk together. I'm going to take her for a walk later on today. I just love watching the way she stops and she looks up at a bird and she pants happily. And then we get down to what is called the Mill Stream, which runs into the river that runs by our house. The river is called the Conestoga River. She gets into the Mill Stream and she lays in it and she looks up at the sky. She looks around, maybe a leaf comes by and she snaps the leaf, or a little bug, she'll snap the bug. And there's just something so real about being with an animal outside as opposed to being inside. So a prayer prescription, being with your animals, watching nature, being on the river, is an amazing prayer prescription. We have the beautiful geese who come every year, especially this time of year. And when Ulysses and Mukunda were alive, they came to know these geese. Every year they would kind of swim out and say hi. And the geese were calling them. You watch the interspecies relationships. The more you're outside, you see that everything is related. I took Pearl to a pet store the other day, and she started barking incessantly at me. Sometimes she does this. I don't know why. And then all of a sudden, a bird, they have birds, parrots in there. The bird went like that, real loud, and all of a sudden, Pearl stopped. She started barking again, and the bird did the same kind of whistle, and she stopped. And the two of them were communicating. There was a woman, elderly woman there with a walker. And I said, oh, my gosh, listen to the bird and Pearl. They're communicating with each other. She says, really? I think you're right. It was so cool. Prayer prescriptions are just in your ordinary life. They are everywhere that you choose to look. The more that we wake up, and then last night I had Dr. Steve Tubman on my show. He's written a book called Unhypnosis. The more that we wake up to our surroundings, to the inner flow of our lives, the more we'll be able to tune into our own prayer prescriptions. All my life, I've wondered what hypnosis. I could not understand how a person could go under hypnosis and be told that there's an invisible law there that if they get up and walk, they won't be able to walk out. And he told the story about somebody under hypnosis getting up and trying to get out of the place and just bumping into this invisible wall. I just don't understand how something like that happens. But he explained to me, without it going into this conscious, subconscious, superconscious mind, which really doesn't make any sense to me how people can act in certain ways under hypnosis. He explained that a hypnotic state, when people do things that don't make any sense after being, programmed to do them by a hypnotist, that it's like going into a dream. You know how you have dreams where you don't necessarily, most dreams don't make any sense to our conscious mind, but when we are in those dreams, they make perfect sense. He said that if you can view the hypnotic state through the lens of a dream, where when you are in the dream, it makes perfect sense, but when you are out of the dream, it doesn't make any sense. But that's what happens in the hypnotic state. They are not acting in linear time. They're in a dream state, and that's why you can program a person to do certain really crazy things. I never thought of it that way, and now I understand it, and that was something that's been kind of haunting me for years. Why are people doing this? And I certainly wouldn't want to be put under hypnosis and act like a fool in front of audiences of people. Anyway, I'm sure we all act like fools any other time, but I'm not, just don't want to do it under hypnosis. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. I hate to hang up until, I just know that Lawrence could show up any moment, and it would seem sad to just, let me see if he's contacted me some other way. The book Prayer Prescription: Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health is going to be published by mid-May. So that is the update on when this book will be published, because my editor just sent me an almost finished, just fully edited version of the book. We have a few other things to go over. And I'm ready to release it to the world. That's another thing about writing or about composing or about any other work of art that you are working on. Like, there comes a time when you have to release the work to the world, especially if that's what your intention is. To feel like somehow you have to have continued control over this work of art is a test, because in reality, for me, it's just, I'm going to release it and I'm not going to think about it anymore, and I'm going to start on the next prayer prescription, body of work. My next foray as a nurse will be to go into the Amish community and do home births and also do a natural childbirth with the people who come to a birthing center out in Lancaster County. I plan to get that happening, and I think it would be really cool to do a prayer prescriptions for the love of natural childbirth, prayer prescriptions for the love of aging gracefully, and prayer prescriptions for more of the companion animal themes that I love. And possibly prayer prescriptions for my little Pearl, who is just so adorable. She just came in here. I bought her a pink harness. Pearl, settle down, honey. Settle down, sweetheart. Yes, you're so, so sweet. Did you think I disappeared? My goodness. Well, she's smart enough to know that I'm here in the barn doing this radio show. That's pretty cool. this Pearl is a very smart dog, and I think all dogs are have their own. Never say that a dog is stupid. We have a white Pyrenees who lives up on the hill, his mistress would always say he was stupid, and I found that to be offensive. But I was, you know, maybe he wasn't the grandest intelligence of dogs. Well, it was around Easter a few years ago. Ulysses went up and stole Baxter, the great white Pyrenees' dog. He had a little Easter bunny toy, and Ulysses stole it. And Baxter is generally on a big lead up there. He can't get free. Well, as soon as he could, he got free. About 6 weeks later, he came running down. He saw the bunny lying there. He picked it up, and he ran up the lane, looking over his shoulder, very paranoid that Ulysses would see him taking back his toy. I called his mistress, and I said, "You have a supremely intelligent dog here. Don't ever say that he lacks intelligence, Pearl." So that's what I mean. They are so deeply intelligent. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. What we're talking about here is the release of fair prescriptions, spiritual remedies for long-lasting health. And now I can see that this book will be published sooner than later because I just received the book from my editor this morning, or maybe late last night. And we're discussing what a prayer prescription is. And, of course, that would be something that each person has to define for themselves. We can't even begin to define what a prayer prescription is for anybody else. I can't even define it for myself. But pretty soon I will be teaching a class on prayer prescriptions at Attractitude. And that is attractitude.com. And I think that over the course of teaching prayer prescriptions to a audience of students, I will be able to define more exactly, you know, the whole evolution of prayer in our society and in our culture. And often, one thing I will often say is, one of the questions we have to ask our patients is, what spiritual practice or religious practice do you use to bring you comfort? And invariably, a patient will say, "I pray." So it's something that it's a practice that needs to be brought out of the closet a little bit more, and to see that Christianity has not or cannot co-opt the act and the practice of prayer, which I believe it has. We must realize that prayer is a universal language. It's a language used in all religions, all spiritual practices. And I know that my Jewish friends often get hung up with prayer as a Christian practice. But we all know that everybody prays. And maybe they don't define it as such. So it is now 7:33 in the morning, a.m., a little early for most of us. And I guess Lawrence's time is about 12 noon. Lawrence lives in London, England. And I hope he isn't too worried about not getting to the show because it doesn't really matter. You know, it really doesn't. I'm talking more than I had planned to talk. But that's, once again, what is a plan but something that can be let go of momentarily? One of the things about the idea of practicing and practicing nursing with natural childbirth is that the labor and delivery experience that I have had has been wonderful, and I have loved it. I love my patients, and I love my nursing colleagues. However, what I don't like is the fact that women are seen, that the laboring process is seen, for instance, as a time clock. You know, if you don't do things in a certain time, then you are rushed off to the operating room for a cesarean. This could be why we have such a high cesarean rate, because there's so much impatience in our society. Everybody wants to rush things through. And what I have noticed, too, is when somebody comes in to have a baby, family members and everybody's twiddling their fingers and their thumbs in a aura of impatience. I think impatience explains it very well. Impatience is what guides the whole labor and delivery experience in these settings. So where I am going, we're not going to do, we don't do inductions, we don't induce with Pitocin, and there's complications they have to, you know. But complications can be greatly reduced by helping a patient feel, get out of a fear state. Fear is what can create a labor that stops. And, well, I would think that if a person can confront their fears in labor, they can become more fearless in the life that they live afterwards. So I am happy to say that I have had, you know, the experience of watching how hospitals treat labor and laboring women. And it's not a pretty picture. It's what people often choose, but if they really knew any better, would they really choose this for themselves? Well, that's enough of that, as my father used to say. Call number is 347-205-9200, and we are on the line on day 13 of my virtual book tour for prayer prescriptions, spiritual remedies for long-lasting health. I am here in my barn overlooking the beautiful Conestoga River, and it's April the 18th, and it is the most beautiful spring. However, it is abnormally early, and we can pretty much point to climate change for this whole year that we have had. I'm in the barn here with Pearl. Pearl found me. She is a little skittish. She may be hungry, and that is something that we can certainly accommodate her with when I am through here with this beautiful program. Call the numbers 347-205-9200. And I am happy to say that all is well, and getting back to the Attractitude prayer prescription class, I have put up a page for this, and it's katelovingshank.com/kate-loving-shanks-attractitude-prayer-. I think it's prescriptions class. And somehow okay, so since we're on this topic, I will find the URL for the prayer prescription class. Let's see here. katelovingshank.com. And of course, you can go to attractitude.com as well. And the Kate's Attractitude Prayer Prescription classes is under prayer prescription at the top. There is a whole class syllabus there. And basically, we will do an overview of prayer on week one. And I think it's probably a good idea to keep a prayer journal. And thinking of prayer as a recovery tool. And one thing I haven't included here is thinking of prayer as a loving field. If you hold a moment in prayer and prayerful silence, you are actually calling forth the forces of love. And I have seen this so many times where when I work as a nurse, when it seems like a calamity is occurring, to hold the moment in prayer and in love and just move the energy through and move the energy through, something happens to change the reality of the situation. And I would say that what is changing is that the angels are being called in. The angels are being called in the moment that you stop in a moment of prayer and you hold the situation in a power much greater than ourselves. I think that if more medical people did this, we would have less calamities in the situations that come through the door. Also, we would have less panic. Panic is the single most horrific thing that a healthcare provider can impart to their patients, to the people around them. Panic is a lack of faith in the possibilities for things to work out. So we have a guest in the chat room. Hello, guest 344. We are, this is day 13 of my virtual tour for prayer prescriptions. Prescription, spiritual remedies for long-lasting health. And I'm talking about prayer prescriptions are different for everybody. And there's no sense in trying to define a prayer prescription, because as soon as you do, somebody else may have their own definition. But in reality, a prayer prescription is your own unique expression in this world. And also I was discussing the fact that I will be holding a prayer prescription class, and I was saying that keeping a prayer journal and prayer as a recovery tool. Well, we all know that those of us in recovery and in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step programs talk about prayer and meditation as the 11th step. So prayer prescription classes will be held through the attractitude.com site, and I do have that link on my katelovingshank.com. I just put it up yesterday. So we're going to do 4 weeks every month, and in the end, when you have a prayer prescription class, we are forming what I would call and what has been called prayer partnership groups, where when you share prayers together in whatever way, that not necessarily a written prayer, but a composition or a work of art, that you share, when you share these prayers in however form you wish to share them, you are strengthening and solidifying a spiritual practice based on creating sacred space in our lives. And we are creating shared sacred spaces as we incorporate prayer as a spiritual practice. So we need to realize how beautiful that is, and the prayer partnerships. When two or more gather together, we are bringing in something so beautiful. I believe that was something that a quote from Jesus. But what I know as a Unitarian, I don't know what Jesus really said. Okay, the call-in number is 347-205-9200. And this is day 13 of my virtual book tour. Pearl just did something funny to make me laugh. I am thinking that other things can come out of a prayer prescription practice, besides classes and besides books that we can share, and sharing with each other, we are becoming more ourselves. We are becoming more ourselves. Right, Pearl? Pearl. Sit. Sit. She wants me to take her for a walk because I was just saying how it's so beautiful to watch a dog outside. And here we are inside and she doesn't like it. Maybe that's what the whole point of barking is all about. Well, I am going to call this prematurely to the end. I see we do have some people here in the chat room. I guess I will continue a little bit longer to let you know that my book, Prayer Prescription Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health, is going to be published, I would say, I can pick the date, on the 15th of May. I just received the edited book back, and I received it back early this morning, and my editor is Fran Monaco, who edits Al-Anon Publications, and I'm very excited that I can now get this book published, and I will continue the virtual book tour until it is. Yeah, my first dog, Mukunda, didn't like it when I was on the phone, and that's the same thing with Pearl. I think Pearl is channeling Mukunda half the time. So those of you who love your dogs, you will love Prayer Prescriptions because it has a lot to do with our animal companions. Certainly any animal that you love, you can relate to it as part of your life, communicating with nature and just being in this beautiful world that we live in. And we are earthlings. We live on the earth, and we should be outside much more than we are. This radio show will be going on Lawrence Ball's blog today. Lawrence is here in spirit. He and I were talking the other day about how prayer is not something that you are praying for anything, that prayer it becomes your spiritual practice, and I dare say your religious practice, that it becomes just a way of life, and it elevates your spirit to a higher level. I mean, I know there's no higher or lower. It's all one, but really as we elevate our consciousness and our vibration, that's what prayer does for us. It connects us to a level that we need in this world to really survive effectively. We need to survive effectively in this world, and prayer helps us to do that. So today is the 18th of April, and I am going to sign out. I send love to all of you, and I wish you all the very best in the day that is yours to practice a prayer-like practice, however you wish to do it. And love to everybody who's listening, and farewell. Klaus T. Jensen, Music for Mother and Child, is going to finish off this 50 minutes. Love to all.